The following Dharma talk was given by Jodi Hojin Kimmel at the Zen Center of New York City. Hojin Sensei is the abbot of the Zen Center and head priest at Zen Mountain Monastery. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you would like to make a donation or find out more about our various programs, visit us online at zmm.org/zcnyc. Thanks for listening.
For the benefit of those of you that just had beginning instruction, I would like to enter Zazen again for a few minutes, even with the lights on, so that you can digest and take in what you just learned and get a few moments to settle in. And then we'll start our ongoing introduction. So let's all just turn in for a little bit together. Thank you. So nice to sit. Sorry, I have to talk. But we're opening Ango, which is our spring Ango training period, a 90-day intensive. We do two intensives per year, which means from March to May and from September to November, we intensify our practice together. So this is coming up for opening up the spring. And it's an invitation for all of us to find peace, put an end to suffering, to want that can happen. And we've been offered a path, which is called Marga, a path that was set out over 2,500 years ago. And through all these generations, so many people have practiced it and said, it's effective. It works. And so we should learn about it. Ango means peaceful dwelling. So how do we find that in ourself, our peaceful dwelling in the midst of our lives and all that it contains, all the feelings, all the emotions? We can find peace that is deeper than conditions. Our theme, we have a theme for the Ango, and this is a great one, right relationship with the world. Expressing gratitude. So this eightfold path that the Buddha set out, the fourth of the Four Noble Truths, is right relationship to ourself. Is really, so the eightfold path is having a right view. And we might say, I have a right view. I see right. It's not based on our opinions or what we know. But it's really understanding the Four Noble Truths, that life suffers and there's dissatisfaction, and that we can put an end to that. We can understand causes and conditions, cause and effect, our true nature. We can understand that so that we can free the perceptions that bind us. So all of these needs to be going into with some depth. So this right view, we know about this relentless drive to fulfill never-ending cravings. And we call that dukkha. That produces dukkha. There's right intention. So what's the right intention with ourself? Or having right thoughts, thoughts that help us. Thoughts that are wholesome, and that we can see the ones that aren't skillful, the ones that make us suffer, and know they come from causes and conditions, and we can shift that. We can understand that. Right speech. All of the liturgy that we do is right speech. We're learning right speech as we chant. How is that with your companions? How is that on your texting, twittering, emails. How do you practice right speech and be in right relationship with what you value and break through the habits and the reactions that come so quickly, being able to see that and move towards the rightness, the straightness, that we all want peace. We really do. Because we're burdened when we do things, I think, that are not in alignment with ourself and what we value. We feel that burden, and that's a good thing to feel, to help guide us, not to weigh us down or turn us into shame or guilt, but just to find the rightness. We need both. Right action, right livelihood, having a right effort, not overdoing it, not underdoing it, right mindfulness, and right concentration. Right concentration. So we really need to know how to concentrate so we can enter all of these other things, because if our concentration is all over the place, it's hard to speak right, it's hard to think right. So we're developing this right concentration, this absorption. So just a little bit of the historics of the practice of Ango. Some of you know this, you're practicing students, and it's good to repeat things. We repeat things a lot in Buddhism and in our training, because we're changing. Everything's changing. And so when we hear things one moment years ago, it's different hearing it the next week or the next year. So it's from an ancient wisdom tradition. There's many of them that traces its time back to Shakyamuni Buddha and the early Sangha. And each year in India, the monsoons rains would come and the rivers would rise and nobody could travel. So everyone had to stay in one place, including the Buddha. So the Buddha would stay in this one place, and they'd set up a kind of university of intensity. So they were all there with the Buddha, and they put tents up. I always thought that would be really fun to do in the city. Just like, it's raining, we have all these tents around, we're all just going to stay here and practice the Dharma. But you can do that, weaving in and out. And it was temporary housing, and it enabled everyone to practice and polish their understanding through the indispensable teachings of the three treasures, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And the emphasis was on collective practice and also individual. So that's what we have. We come together, because there's things that happen when we're in a collection we know could never happen alone, right? Stones rubbing. So we come here to polish each other in our understanding, in our relationships, how we interact with each other. We try and do that well within our Sangha, identify where it's unwholesome and try and move it into a more wholesome state. So Buddha was constantly offering very specific teachings and ways of training and practicing our lives so we can be developing, realizing, and actualizing the wisdom we already have. So all of these noble factors are within us already. We already have a right view. It's just a bit murky. We already know how to speak right. Gets a bit murky. Things get hit. Buttons get pushed. But that's why we need the concentration, because right there we need to know and feel what's happening and then not create more harm. Not create more harm. That's the first pure precept. Just, and if you do, the next one is try not to make it worse. Just don't make it worse. And there's ways to heal. So the point being practice of practicing to intensify, increase, and strengthen and develop all kinds of useful qualities of mind, mindfulness, alertness, concentration, generate goodwill, generate a loving heart. And this is like sometimes, and most of the time, a drop of water on a stone. It's, we have to just stay with it, and it starts to wear away at the stone and change it. So it's not like you want this thing and you effort for it. We have to make an effort, but sometimes the way that we have to work with ourselves and our mind, because we've built up so many conditions and habits that are unhealthy, it's going to take a while sometimes, but that's why we need to find that little 1% of faith where we see already and we can trust something already that's happening. And then we just have to keep on with that. So, what qualities might you need to develop? What qualities might you need to abandon? And this is part of what the Buddha calls the customs of the noble ones. The customs of the noble ones is to want to do this. That's what stepping on a path is, especially a path of Buddhism, is that we take delight. That it's, his quote is that we can learn how to delight in abandoning whatever we have to abandon and to delight in developing whatever needs to be developed. Now, you might think, well, that's a stretch. You know, yeah. Yeah, this is going to stretch. You know, practice stretches us because that's how we grow. And we just get the, you know, sometimes it's a big stretch. Sometimes there's little stretches. We take delight in development, developing what is of value and abandoning what doesn't help us. So it's hard too because there's sometimes we're in the company or the stream of things that move us, people, situations that move us in particular ways, and it takes a lot of strength to see what you value within that and how to relate to that well within relationships. When Buddha was teaching his son, Rahula, by the way, his son's name, Rahula, means fetter. I thought that was interesting to name your child fetter. Those of you who are parents, who also did ordain and followed his that path, but Rahula, he said, look at your actions. Before you act, look at your intentions. If you think that what you're going to do or say or think is harmful, you've got to tell yourself, no, don't do it. Don't do that. If you don't foresee any harm, then you can do it. If while you're doing it, you see that some harm is happening that you didn't anticipate, you stop. Otherwise, you keep on doing it. Then when you're done, you reflect on the long-term consequences of your actions. If you see that there is any unforeseen harm, then you resolve not to repeat that mistake again. If you don't see that there was any harm, then you can take joy in the fact that that you're training the mind well and that you haven't harmed anybody at all. So maybe you can see the Buddha with his little fetter, Rahula sitting down and having this convo. Then he said, this is how we purify in our actions and where we have to begin. Because it's only by taking a good, honest look at our actions that we begin to trust ourselves. So we replicate Ango practice here at the temple and at the monastery. And I like to repeat that to intensify one's practice doesn't mean to panic. So don't make that association. It's just to deepen the direction that you would like to go in. To find that bit of squeeze. You know, Pema Chodron used to say we're like oranges and you got to get a good squeeze to get the pulp out. So how, for each of us, we have to find our own place in that, right? So what, for someone, sitting down for 5 minutes every day to sit might be pretty big. I started that way. I said 5 minutes. I'm going to commit to 5 minutes, morning and evening. And that's what I did, month after month after month. Whether I wanted to or not, that was my squeeze. That was my commitment. And I could do it. That was doable. Like 20, I was like, you know. But 5, I was like, all right, you know. So you have to find that in your practice and to develop concentration. And one of the reasons we need to get the mind into concentration is so that we can become sensitive to what causes our suffering. So we don't pass it by, that we can really see it, experience it. And then we can make it bright. We can brighten it, especially through Zazen. Buddha knew that practicing more intensely equals greater opportunity to recognize the Buddha mind that is steady and eternal. Regardless, as I said, of fluctuations in our conditions. Peace does not mean to be in a place where there's no noise, trouble, or hard work, but to be in the midst of those things and maintain a calm heart, a calm mind, seeing. So we're encouraged not to get lost in the congestion of our mind, that we have a path. If you're choosing this, some of you have. And I felt like, wow, what an opportunity to look at these, truly look at the Eightfold Path that is laying out something for us. What a great way to repay our debt and our gratitude for our life, for this life, and how we can live it well. And to expose to ourselves that we do have unshakability of our heart and mind. It can shake, but in that, when we can let ourselves shake in unshakability, we're unshakable. I sound like Dogen. Overwhelming. Because of the intimacy with shaking. That you're not apologetic for shaking. And you let that shake happen with wisdom. Because we should be. We are. It's okay. We can be unshakable in shaking. So we have to start right at home with this body, with this mind, with our conditions, with our speech, with our thought. And each of us responsible for one person, which is every person. If you can be responsible for your person, you will know how to be responsible for every person. It goes both ways. So we do the best we can. No harm. Don't go after yourself. If there's one thing you practice, it's like, stop your war inside. And it's going to take some time. That's being on a path. Because we're going to start fighting again and again. And we come by it honestly. So we have to understand, but Buddha said, you really need to understand there's cause and effect, causes and conditions. So for each, I said what the theme was. I said all that. so much for notes. We're going to have plenty of offerings here at the temple through the Eightfold Path, which is the eight gates of Zen, which are practices, ways to engage Buddhist practice. And that you can enter these gates to touch this freedom. They each present a mirror, a practice, where we can see the precepts, where we can see our reflection, what stops us, where we make limits. And sometimes we won't recognize ourselves. We'll just go for it. And as soon as you step, a path opens. So I'll mention a few of the things. And we'll post, I'm going to put a calendar in the vestibule so you can just see, like, what's today? Because I was trying a new way where there's some practices that are continuous, where you can do it more than once and not for like a whole day, but just for like a couple hours with, you know, of practice together. Hopefully in accord with the way you move as lay people, where you have time. That's what I've been kind of observing. So we'll see. And I hope you'll just do it so we can make it happen together, like just stretch it a little bit and engage it and see how it works for you, these offerings. So just about every Friday online, since COVID, so this is our fourth anniversary, I've been doing an art practice online on Fridays from 10:30 to noon. You basically work in your studio. We bring up some aspect of the Dharma. We're going to be studying, right, relationships, our theme. And you work in your studio, and we share that together. So it's a time of practice, art practice together. And then there's sewing practice, which Kisei is going to lead. And sewing is a big part of the tradition, and it's the roksus that people sew, the cases. I'm sure some of you sew and repair things, but it's a very concentrated practice. Concentration can be developed. And so this is going to take the form of creating beings, protector beings, bodhisattvas, and sewing them. Small, if you've never seen Kisei's figures, but learning about these archetypes. Some think they're real, and some think they're just archetypes. I've got to be careful how they say that. Last time, a Jizo Bodhi statue fell off its stand when asked if they're real or not. And one Tibetan teacher said, they know that they're not real. Boom. Off it went. So that's going to be on Tuesday evenings once a month from 6:30 to 8. And there will be a Zazen component to it. So you'll sit some before the sewing. We have all the kits and things. You can bring materials that you love or have ancestral vibrations as part of your creations. I'll be doing no-look drawing sessions. So I love, no-look means you don't look at your paper. So this is a very direct view of seeing things directly. Not what we think or imagine, but and some of you might say, I can't draw. You're perfect. You're perfect because this is not looking at your paper. You can do it, well, not blindfolded, but maybe. If there's a, anyway, I'll skip that part. So that will be on some evenings, twice this ongo. And they're an hour and a half, I think, with a sitting component. They'll be Born as the Earth retreat. So next week, we'll be hiking through Central Park and learning some of the history in Central Park. I've read some, but I've never had somebody take me around. So we have Joshin and Sanzen, who will look at the environment and tell us both of the peoples and the ecological things that have been taking place in that, and we'll do some art practice and zazen there. Justin will be back. Yay. Justin led the choir that we had, the Kurenji choir, and they will be leading a ringing from within voice practice together. And this will be on Sundays. So again, we'll take a break, just 2 to 4, not every Sunday, once per month. So it's not the commitment we had. That was a big commitment, the choir. And yay, we did it. And people wanted to continue practicing voice together. So you can think about that. We're going to need our voices. We do need our voices. What are the different ways we can explore voice that will need to come forward? Some of us, that's not easy to do. So Justin's a real can opener, a real nutcracker. And you don't even know what's happening. Their acupuncture is so smooth that your voice will be ringing without you knowing it. So you're in for a treat. We have yoga for easing the mind. It's a very gentle yoga. And Gutta, who I was introduced to through another student, Gutta Hedwig, will be doing that 3 times during the Ongo, March, April, and May, on a Sunday as well, alternating. So you can do voice. Nothing's going to overlap, so you can do it all. Practically live here. I mean, this is your temple, and I want you to come in and out as much as you can, that it fits in with your life and it can help you move in the direction you want to go to. We'll be doing half-day sits each month, and we'll be doing all-day sits, Zazenkai, each month. We'll have a precept ceremony in April for 3 people, so you'll get to see Jukai, the precept ceremony. And I'll also be doing 2 retreats. One is an introduction to the Eightfold Path. So we'll be going over each of the eightfolds. I love that, eightfolds. Maybe you can take that up in the sewing, eightfolds. And also an introduction to the 8 gates of training that we do. Some of you have gone to introductory retreats at the monastery. We're going to do a shorter one here, and that will also include face-to-face teaching on a Sunday if you've never done that before. So you can look for that. So this is all to encourage peaceful dwelling and develop our sense of gratitude. Sometimes we feel it and sometimes we don't. That's okay. Sometimes in small measures. I love this piece by David White, who is a Buddhist practitioner and writes on different words. He said, gratitude is not a passive response to something we have been given. Gratitude arises from paying attention, from being awake in the presence of everything that lives within and without us. It's not necessarily something that is shown after the event. It is the deep priori state of attention that shows we understand and are equal to the gifted nature of life. Gratitude is understanding that millions of things come together and live together and mesh together and breathe together in order for us to take even one more breath of air. That the underlying gift of life and incarnation as a living, participating human being is a privilege. That we are miraculously part of something rather than nothing. We inhabit a living world with real faces, real voices, laughter, the color red, freshness of cold wind, greens on the tips of branches. So maybe we can find some appreciation, and maybe not appreciating means maybe we're not paying attention. Maybe we're not paying attention how much millions of things come together to give us this breath of air. So we're going to be offering incense again. I love the timing of Yukon. In just like the beginning of Ango, after Shoan's initiation into her new role as a Dharma, as a precept teacher. And right there. And so you are all welcome to participate in Ango here. And some of you will be formal participants. That's something you could find out about. But as a participant of actively walking the path of peace in your life, we'll have some scrolls you can sign on freely. It's not up at the moment. But today you get to make an offering if you'd like to, which we'll take a moment to sit with, just taking that in and what we might want to commit to, how we might want to just enter that path, this path, and make an offering for it. And it's open to everyone. So we'll put out this, I'm glad you saw it this morning, it's not new. We'll put the haku boxes out. And during this, we'll chant the Jizo Shingon Dharani. Jizo Bodhisattva is the Bodhisattva of protection for travelers, for women, children. Jizo, which we can identify with, is someone who's willing to go into the hell realms to save living beings. And so this is a calling forth of this energy of Jizo Bodhisattva. It's a simple phrase, ka ka kabisa mae soa kao. Ka ka kabisa, and it just repeats itself. And after everyone has made offerings, we'll have a dedication. And then we'll close our opening ceremony. Things will start rolling next week on Tuesday night, if you want to start sewing. And you can do one or all of the retreats. So there's series. You don't have to do it all. You can come to one. It's open like that, too. I don't want you to feel like you couldn't sign in if you couldn't do it all. So you're welcome to drop in when you can. We have a wonderful group of residents that live here. I want to thank them for how they hold this space and everyone in it and live here and go to work and serve the Sangha. And I want to thank Yunin, who's been here with me for a couple years now, which I couldn't pull most of this together without him behind me. So I'm very grateful. Thank you. And how he served this Sangha as well. So as Shugen would say, he's always said it's like a big ship taking off in the sea. And I thought, maybe it's just a subway. An endless subway that's going to ride on, and we'll get on and off. And at the same time, making it stop. Making it stop. Okay. Thank you. Let's just sit for a few moments, and then we'll prepare the haku boxes. Yeah. Yeah. And you can just sit into all this. And then we'll begin. And Vadim will be doing our caretaking drum. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. For meditation supplies such as cushions, incense, liturgical instruments, Dharma books, and more, visit monasterystore.org. Support for your spiritual practice at home.